This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Air Force dropped the ball. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, November 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
One of the reasons the church gunman in Texas was able to purchase weapons was because the Air Force did not report him to an FBI database when he was discharged from the service.
On a related note, how to help the victims of Sutherland Springs who need money for medical and funeral costs as well as blood donations.
President Trump is in South Korea today as part of his lengthy trip to Asia. Among the topics for discussion, North Korea's nukes.
It's Election Day. One of the closely watched races is the battle to become the next governor of Virginia.
Virginia is drawing the most attention, though, because it's really neck and neck. The two candidates are the Democratic Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam is running against Ed Gillespie, who's the former chairman of the Republican National Committee. As it's come down to the wire, it's gotten kind of nasty, and the polls show it getting closer.
Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook on why this campaign has attracted so much attention. There's at least one reason a Texas man with a history of violence was able to purchase a gun and commit Sunday's atrocities at a church. When the Air Force discharged him following a court-martial conviction, it never reported his name to the FBI. 26-year-old Devin Kelly had a history of domestic abuse, animal abuse, trouble holding down a job, as well as a failed marriage. Among the domestic charges, choking and kicking his ex-wife and slamming his baby's head. The military's lapse apparently explains why Mr. Kelly passed a background check and was allowed to buy guns. Major Freeman Martin is with the Texas Department of Public Safety.
We know during that pursuit, the suspect used his cell phone to notify his father that he had been shot and didn't think he was going to make it.
That car pursuit came after the shooting was underway at that church in Sutherland Springs. He was pursued by a neighbor and another resident of the community. Authorities say Mr. Kelly was angry with his mother-in-law when he killed 26 people Sunday at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs. It's believed he shot himself in the head, but he also sustained two wounds from the neighbor in a leg and his torso. Almost every Sunday, Ann Montgomery is in a pew at First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, the routine now for 30 years. But this week, she and her husband woke up not feeling well and stayed home. Courtney Lee, a regular parishioner who is pregnant with her seventh child, couldn't get her husband out of bed, she says. They, too, skipped church. The Wall Street Journal says those decisions likely saved their lives. Roseanne Solis was there and was shot in the shoulder.
I could see, you know, I saw bodies with a lot of blood. That's all I saw because I wasn't about to get out from where I was hiding.
The 26 people killed and 20 wounded is about the total number of people who usually attend services. Sherry Bays is the superintendent of the Floresville Independent School District.
It's devastating. It's very difficult for the families. Our staff members are just so upset.
Residents said the church is known as an inclusive place where anyone who dropped by for Bible study on Thursday night was welcome and could help themselves to free dinner. Well, if the desire is there, how can guns be kept out of the hands of the mentally ill? More from New York police officer Lou Palumbo, a security expert who's director of a private security firm called Elite Intelligence and Protection. Lou, how do you see this?
Well, the thing I found interesting is that he apparently demonstrated characteristics when he was still attached to the military that resulted in him being discharged dishonorably, number one. Number two, I believe the impetus to that, if I'm correct, was a very serious domestic violence issue. Why the military at that point did not require him to take a psychological evaluation or engage in one is confounding, number one. Number two, this issue with domestic violence. These issues or these episodes need to be reported into one central database in our country so that when we key in on an individual with their social security number and their date of birth, this information pops up on us. What we're doing is basically acting reactively. In other words, I'm sure we're going to implement some changes on the heels of this incident, like we're banning the bumper stock. You know, this is all part of the problem. We politicize these issues, we get nowhere because compromise is not a word in the vocabulary of our political mechanism, and I'm not confident that moving forward this is going to be fixed. What we need to do is create a standard of screening that will prevent people who are mentally defective from acquiring firearms and, for that matter, driving automobiles. What everybody needs to understand is that our mental health system has been dismantled. You know, in life we say there's no such thing as single causality. That is true, and there's no such thing as a single fix to this problem. This problem has multiple heads, but the real issue here is that we have a failed political system that cannot seem to responsibly address any of these problems we're dealing with, whether it's the border, mental illness, gun control, pick a topic. We are just not inclined to do what's in the best interest of this country.
When you talked about the creating the database before, you would imagine get pushback from those who would claim that this would be a privacy violation of some point or of some kind.
No, not at all, sir. I mean, the reality of this situation is that we have to be proactive in fixing this problem. I understand the arguments to everything. I clearly get them. I get them on people pro-gun, anti-gun. I understand the privacy argument. I understand the HIPAA law problem. But the reality of this situation in particular, and I'm just dealing with this one, someone in the Air Force mechanism should have required this individual to undergo a psychiatric or psychological evaluation to determine exactly what his health was. You know, the other thing we need to delve into is, what was he exposed to during the military? Was this young man in Iraq? What exactly may have led to, for example, to his mental or emotional deterioration? We've done nothing in regards to that. Our investigators, hopefully, and being as thorough as they should be, will possibly identify that, which will lend itself to some motives.
Mm. We're speaking with Lou Palumbo, former cop, also Director of Elite Intelligence and Protection, a private security firm. We're talking about keeping weapons from getting into the hands of the mentally ill. Would you, for example, require that doctors or primary physicians report something as well?
No, you can't do that. You see, that's the stumbling block because the HIPAA laws prevent it. But what I am suggesting is that for those individuals that feel that they have a need for high-capacity automatic pistols or, in certain instances, assault rifles, which are those tools that we use in law enforcement and military, especially in our tactical units, that if you want to acquire them, you have to take a psychological screening, like we do in law enforcement. In other words, anyone that's appointed to a police department or a federal law enforcement agency, before you become or engaged in criminal history check, we subject you to psychological screening, Minnesota multiphasic screening, Rorschach, word association, interviews with psychologists and psychiatrists. When you complete that phase, we then go through your criminal history. When you complete that phase and the background is completed, we appoint you, we firearms train you, then we educate you in a classroom as to the use of deadly physical force. The public can walk in on a driver's license and acquire the same weapons that we acquire in law enforcement and military to protect them. This is a flaw in the system.
Thanks, Lou. Lou Palumbo, former New York police officer and, again, part of a group called Elite Intelligence and Protection. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Tuesday. President Trump arrived today in South Korea, the closest he has come to the front lines of the nuclear standoff with North Korea, landing at Osan Air Base outside of Seoul. The president and first lady began a 24-hour visit that could aggravate tensions with Pyongyang. Mr. Trump then flew by helicopter to Camp Humphreys, the largest U.S. military base in the country, and met U.S. and South Korean troops, along with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. The White House says the trip is intended to demonstrate U.S. resolve over his hardline approach to the North Korean nuclear and missile threats.
The North Korea situation will be a discussion that we will have front and center, and hopefully something's going to be very successfully worked out on that.
The recent nuclear and missile tests by the regime of Kim Jong-un in defiance of UN resolutions have raised the stakes in the most critical international challenge of the Trump administration. This is the second leg of a five-nation trip that is scheduled for 12 days. It's 20 minutes now after the hour. On this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the gunman who killed 26 people at a small-town Texas church had a history of domestic violence that spanned years before the attack and was able to buy weapons because the Air Force did not submit his criminal history to the FBI as required by military rules. The Air Force acknowledged that if the past offenses by Devin Kelly, who fired at least 450 rounds at worshipers on Sunday morning, had been properly shared, they would have prevented him from buying a gun. FBI Special Agent Christopher Combs.
Well, the four purchases that he made, the NICS system did their required checks, and there was no prohibitive information in the systems that we checked that say that he could not have purchased that firearm.
Investigators also revealed that Kelly had sent threatening text messages to his mother-in-law, a member of First Baptist, before the attack. Voters in New Jersey and Virginia are choosing new governors today. In Virginia, most polls show a close race between Republican Ed Gillespie and Democratic Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam. New Jersey will get a successor to unpopular GOP Governor Chris Christie in the race between Democrat Phil Murphy and Republican Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno. Murphy holds a double-digit lead in polls. The stakes are high as both parties seek momentum ahead of next year's midterm elections. And the Trump administration is planning a January 2019 end to a temporary residency permit program for 5,000 citizens from Nicaragua who have lived in the U.S. for almost two decades. Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Elaine Duke says the program is no longer necessary. Temporary residents living under that permit would be given 12 months to allow for an orderly transition for their return to their Central American homeland. Well, if you're flying somewhere between Christmas and New Year's, now's the time to pull the trigger on tickets. FareCompare.com says your goal is to get a better bad deal because there are no good deals and no sales. In early November, you can figure on adding a dollar or two each day to your airfare. By the middle of the month, that number will go up to $3 or $4 a day. And once you hit Thanksgiving, $6 or $7. And if you're heading to a warm weather destination, those numbers might double.
Ah, who needs to retire? Spend the money now. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. With rising oil prices and ongoing refinery maintenance due to Hurricane Harvey, fuel prices have jumped over the last week in 43 states and the District of Columbia. The average national price of $2.52 per gallon most recently was up 30 cents from a year ago and up 5 cents from a week ago, according to AAA. Where do prices go now? We're joined by Tom Kloza, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Oil Price Information Service based in New Jersey. Tom, what's the landscape right now?
The landscape right now is prices are hot as a pistol. I mean, we're looking at the highest crude oil prices since the beginning of July 2015, and we're not at the highest gasoline prices, but we're within about 10 cents of the hurricane highs. It's very unusual. November, December, January, and February are very poor months for demand. But the market's kind of all limbered up right now, and a lot of money flow is chasing oil prices higher.
Okay, so how come? What's happening here?
Well, first of all, we do have a balancing act there where OPEC is showing some sort of a discipline. But today it's really rising on the notion of these purges in Saudi Arabia and the threat against Iran because of some problems in Yemen. So I think it's the last inning or the ninth inning of the 2017 crude oil price rally. And in the meantime, gasoline supplies are tight because we lost so much production during the hurricane. But on balance, I think the second half of this month is going to see prices come off, and I think they'll continue to come off into the winter.
We're speaking with Tom Kloza, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Oil Price Information Service in New Jersey, talking about gasoline prices as we head toward the holidays. So that said, then, how much might they come off, say, you know, in time for the drive to grandma's house around Thanksgiving or perhaps later in the year over Christmas week?
Well, I think they'll feather lower instead of rocket lower. They rocket higher, but it tends to be a feather on the downside. We're not going to see the drops that we saw in the last couple of autumns where prices would drop 10 to 20 cents each month. Crude oil is simply too strong for that to happen. And again, we lost a little bit of the balances in terms of gasoline supplies because of all the hurricanes. The good news, and I suppose it's good news, is that people tend to drive a lot less after daylight savings time ends, and as we get the inclement weather that's associated with November through February. And we've got high refining production, so we'll be able to survive with this. The wild card this year is exports. We're exporting a record amount of crude, record amount of diesel, and quite a bit of gasoline as well.
All right, so that's, what, good for our prices here in the U.S.?
It's good for the balance of trade. It's good for prices if you like higher prices. So right now, producers are doing okay, and refiners are, you know, they probably wouldn't be interested in changing to counterfeiting because they'd have a higher margin for refining than for counterfeiting right now.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Kloza, Global Head of Energy Analysis at Oil Price Information Service. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, the holidays are fast approaching. Order gifts for everyone on your list with the click of a mouse. Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks and how for only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code DEAL in the search bar. That's 75% off. Omaha Steaks offers the most flavorful, tender-aged beef, aged for 21 days to unlock the full flavors of the cuts, hand-trimmed and vacuum-sealed. They also have veggies, desserts, appetizers, fresh seafood, and so much more. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings for our listeners. Listen to everything that you'll get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus four additional kielbasa sausages free. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code DEAL in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, November 7. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Texas gunman was never reported to the FBI for his court-martial, which was required by law. Trump is in South Korea talking trade and North Korea nukes. Governor races in Virginia and New Jersey. Xbox One X launches today. Don't fall for the Netflix email scam about service suspension. The New Yorker says Harvey Weinstein hired spies to investigate actresses accusing him of sex harassment. Reinstated Browns receiver Josh Gordon says he took drugs or alcohol before every game. Lions over the Packers last night. The race for governor in Virginia today could give Democrats a needed political victory or deliver a demoralizing defeat that could exacerbate divisions within the party. The election pits Democratic Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam against former Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie.
This next governorship and the decisions our next governor makes are going to set our course and our economy for generations to come. And we've got to set it on the right course because where we are right now is stuck.
It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook, who says it's the biggest test of strength between the parties since Donald Trump became president. Janet, set up today.
Well, Virginia is electing a new governor. They have off-year elections. So really, Virginia is just one of two states that on Tuesday is going to be having a regular election, the other one being New Jersey. Virginia is drawing the most attention, though, because it's really neck and neck. The two candidates are the Democratic Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam is running against Ed Gillespie, who's a former chairman of the Republican National Committee. And at the outset of the race, it sort of felt like it was Democrats' race to lose because Virginia has been kind of trending Democratic. It has a history of electing a governor from the opposition party from the president. It seems like a lot. They had a lot going for them. But as it's come down to the wire, it's gotten kind of nasty, and the polls show it getting closer. Now, I got to say, though, the polls have been all over the place, and I got to say, also, there's a lot of skepticism about polls these days.
Right, right. What role, if any, has President Trump played in this race?
Well, he hasn't campaigned for Ed Gillespie, but he has tweeted support for him. It's kind of a risky thing for Ed Gillespie to have Trump play too much of a role because the state is a swing state. Northern Virginia is very Democratic. It's very populous also. So he wouldn't want to wrap himself in Donald Trump the way candidates in some other states like Alabama and Montana in special elections have done. So kind of what Gillespie has been doing has been running on Trumpy themes like immigration and crime without actually embracing Trump personally.
What about the national implications here? How come so many folks seem to be watching this one closely?
Well, part of it is just it's the first really big election since Donald Trump became president. And so it's kind of a test of strength of the two political parties in the in the Donald Trump era. There had been some special elections leading up to this, but this one is really the special elections have been carried out on very, very Republican turf. So when Democrats lost them, it kind of wasn't a surprise. Now, this is the closest thing to a real swing state where Democrats have an edge, and if they lose this, it'll be really demoralizing. If they win it, it'll be a good kind of shot of adrenaline because the party's been kind of struggling to get its footing after losing the White House last fall.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook. Her piece is called Democrats Nervously Eyeing Tight Virginia Governor's Race. You point out in the story that some folks say Mr. Northam is not doing enough to gin up the anti-Trump sentiment.
Well, I described the kind of tightrope that Ed Gillespie is having to walk between sounding Trumpy but not embracing Trump. Northam has kind of the flip side of it, is that his real strength in the Democratic base is the fact that there are so many people who are so upset about Donald Trump that he, too, has to appeal to some swing voters, maybe some Trump voters, who might be put off by a really hardline anti-Trump message. That may or may not be a smart calculation. I think what the people who wonder whether he's going too soft on it, their feeling is that all of the strength on this race is going to come from a big surge of Democratic turnout, and that's going to come from the base and from the anti-Trump energy, not from the swing voters.
I got the sense before that that the reaction already is going to be predictable, and that's if the Democrats win, they're going to say, aha, we've stopped the momentum. This is the anti-Trump sentiment we've been talking about. And Republicans will say, geez, we did really well in a state we were expected to lose, in a state that Hillary Clinton won.
Right, and both things will be true. They may be predictable, but they're predictable because they're true. I think people are surprised that Gillespie has pulled, made the race as tight as it seems to be. We'll see what the outcome is.
Thanks, Janet. Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a tech update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Virtual reality is starting to tiptoe into the fitness industry. Though it's costly, some gyms are carving out floor space for playing VR games, while others are bringing in new workout machines like stationary bikes that support the technology. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Needleman. Sarah, what's going on?
Well, what's going on is that some health clubs are starting to introduce virtual reality as a type of exercise, just like, you know, if you're going to go on a treadmill or a stationary bike or a rowing machine. This is just another piece of equipment, essentially. Although sometimes you may combine it. It may be virtual reality linked up to a bicycle, but it's the new a new way to work out. And what's exciting about it is that many people say it really helps you get distracted from the monotony and rigor of exercise. You sort of forget that you're working out because you're having fun playing a game in virtual reality.
Wow. So are there limits because you have, say, perhaps some clunky goggles over your head?
Well, I mean, that's how virtual reality works. You put on goggles or a headset, and it totally immerses you into what you see. I mean, your eyes are completely closed off from the real world. Every direction you look, up, down, left, right, you're in virtual reality. You see it. It's like being completely immersed. And that's really what helps you stay focused and not, you know, and forget about the exercise. And then the game itself that you're playing, you know, will instruct you to move in these various heart-pumping ways. So you might be reaching up to grab something or squatting down to avoid something coming at you. And you may be simulating swimming or even scuba diving or flying, and you're moving your body in all sorts of ways.
Wow. How rigorous can it get? Are there examples of what some folks can do?
Well, I mean, you know, some of the virtual reality games simulate actual sports. So you're playing virtual tennis, virtual basketball, whatever. It's probably arguably not the same as the real thing. I mean, if you're out there on the tennis court, you're probably going to get a more serious workout. But it certainly comes close, and it's meant to be more entertaining. I mean, virtual reality games weren't necessarily designed for the purpose of exercise, but they actually do give you a pretty good workout. And, you know, some games are more rigorous than others. There's some lists out there online of people rate them, which ones they think are the best for exercise. But most of them, you know, by the nature of virtual reality, you are moving about. You're moving your arms and legs. It's not meant to be a stationary experience for the most part.
Thanks, Sarah. It's Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Needleman. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us. If you're toying with the idea of getting a head start on holiday shopping, Moneyish.com says consider stocking up on the season's hottest toy while it's still on shelves. Fingerlings. These are finger-sized plastic monkeys that sit on your fingers and blink and respond to touch, motion, and sound. The market research firm The NPD Group says they were among the best-selling toys during the month of September. Created by Wowie, based in Hong Kong, Fingerlings launched in August and retail for about $15 at stores like Walmart, Best Buy, and Toys R Us. But due to their seasonably high demand, they are being sold on third-party sites for up to $180. Not sure how the Fingerlings markup compares to last year's hot toy, the Hatchimals, which retailed for $60 but were found online for $1,000. By the way, the Fingerlings, which each have a name like Zoe, Mia, and Finn, to name a few, have their own collection of accessories too, like monkey bars, swing sets, and seesaws for $39.99 if you can track those things down. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon authorities have found hundreds of shell casings and 15 empty magazines at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs after a shooter opened fire there, killing 26 people. Of those injured, 10 people remain in critical condition and 4 are in serious condition. Roseanne Solis was shot in the shoulder.
I could see, you know, I saw bodies with a lot of blood. That's all I saw because I wasn't about to get out from where I was hiding.
Investigators say before Sunday's attack, Devin Kelly had sent threatening text messages to his mother-in-law, who attended the church but was not present during the shooting. They also say Kelly was able to buy guns legally from a sporting goods store because his domestic violence conviction from the Air Force was never entered into an FBI database used in background checks. While visiting Seoul today, President Trump said the U.S. and its allies are making a lot of progress in dealing with the threat posed by nuclear-armed North Korea. Trump called North Korea a worldwide threat and said it makes sense for them to come to the table.
Ultimately, it'll all work out, because it always works out, has to work out.
Trump spoke at a news conference with South Korea's president. A former foreign policy advisor to President Trump's campaign has acknowledged in testimony to Congress that he had contact with a high-level Russian official while on a trip to Russia last year. Carter Page, an unpaid advisor who left the campaign before Trump was elected, told the House Intelligence Committee last week that he spoke with Russia's deputy prime minister when he traveled to Russia for a speech. He had at times denied the contact in the past. More evidence of the need for sleep. When you don't get enough sleep, certain brain cells literally slow down. A study from UCLA that recorded directly from neurons in the brain found that sleep deprivation causes the bursts of electrical activity that brain cells use to communicate to become slower and weaker. The finding could help explain why a lack of sleep impairs a range of mental functions.
Wow. So lack of sleep slows down brain cells. Alcohol kills brain cells.
So don't drink and wake up.
Wow. I am suffering a double whammy and have been for some time. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Here's how you can help victims in South Texas, from funding individual families to giving directly to First Baptist Church and more. Help is needed with medical bills and, of course, funeral expenses. Sarah Slavin's father, Brian Holcomb, was preaching Sunday and was killed. Her mother, her pregnant sister-in-law, 5 nieces and nephews, and her best friend were killed. A family friend, Christopher Foster, created a GoFundMe account, which has already raised $91,000. There's also the First Baptist Church Sutherland Springs website. A donation on their site can help the church, pastor, and staff pay monthly bills to remain open. Look for the yellow donate button. You can also donate at local HEB grocery stores. Shoppers can add as much as $1 or $100 to their grocery bill at the register. You can also donate blood. The South Texas Blood and Tissue Center is asking for anyone who has O positive or O negative blood types to donate. You can visit southtexasblood.org for how and where to donate. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.